Michaela,
welcome to the Silo Podcast. So glad you're here. Can't wait to discuss all things with you. It's been super cool to see you grow over the last few weeks and months and time that we've known each other. Tell me, like, what season of life you're in right now?
Season of life. I feel like right now is all about growth and discovery for me.
Yeah.
I have been pretty confused, I think, my whole life on where I want to be in the creative world, from wanting to be a photographer to a director of photography and then creative director. Like, I've kind of been confused as to like what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now I'm exploring all different kinds of art.
You've delved into a lot, I feel like just with all this kind of stuff. But like, what would you consider? So you said growth, but like, what direction does that look like? So you came from modeling, I would say, right? And some poetry in the past and stuff like that, and where you project that you would rather be or spend more time at.
Yeah, so I would say that I started out modeling and doing actually a lot of stuff that I used to do. I did do photography and videography. So I think I started there, but I kind of realized the direction I want to go, a lot of it is behind the camera. So I love modeling and I enjoy doing it, but a lot of the things I want to do is help other people with their visions and making those come to life.
Yeah. How's that done then?
Like, How's it done?
What does that look like?
For me, I feel
is that creative directing?
I would say that would be a creative director to me. Yeah. Like, a creative director to me is somebody who helps take other people's visions and ideas and create more organization to them and help them get to where they want to go. Or people will come to you and they'll have no ideas and they have no idea what they want to do, and I'll come up with those ideas for them.
So there's a little bit of project management in there as well, of like the back end, like backbone to it. Like, would that be considering like getting the vendors all lined up and stuff like that would be part of your vision?
Yeah. Like, if I help photographers or videographers, for example, which is what I've done in the past, I might get together all of the props, find the cheapest options for them, get really thrifty about it, present them with all the ideas I have, and they kind of pick and choose what they like, and help them set up the whole set. Yeah. And help pose models, anything like that, just helping with the whole creative aspect and vision of it.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that's super cool, because as many people want to be like in the trades of the photography and like videography stuff, not many people think about like the actual organization that takes place for that for the shoot to come alive. Like, a lot of photographers do end up having that as like their goal too, or like their one of the 17 hats that they wear is also being the creative director. And for you to be able, probably, I would imagine, like on more like higher produced things than like a one-on-one interaction, you would see a lot bigger sets and stuff that you would make.
Not now, but that's the goal. Yeah, right now I'm really just trying to work with as many photographers as I can. And going to things like the Silo events, or there's other photographers in the community and studios that do similar things, trying to go to those and network at them and help them plan that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm kind of discovering right now, is where I want to go and what I want to do. That's kind of where I've landed, is that I don't necessarily always want to be in front of the camera, even though I also love that.
You get the whole fit thrifted and like you're ready to go. You're good in front of the camera.
Thank you.
So you've talked about growth, you've set a direction. But where have you actually seen that tangibly in like your life, in creative life?
In my life, growth-wise, I feel like I'm 25. So I'd say from 22 to 25, I have just spent a lot of time working on myself and being healthier. Yeah, and setting healthy boundaries for myself, eating healthier, just being happier, and trying to become a better person.
Yeah.
So once I started doing those things, it was like, okay, how do I want this to reflect in my creative life? Like, I know that I want to be more creative and I want to build a career, and that's how I'm going to be happier. That's how I'm going to grow. So once I started working on myself and my relationships, it kind of stepped outside to like, how can I do this in my career?
Yeah. And it's just like overflows a little bit.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. It's a difficult process, but I'm trying to have that flow into my career and just learning. Because that's really, I think, the biggest part of your 20s is just learning about yourself and growing and trying to be a better person. And I think there's a big narrative that we have to do it really quickly or before we're 30. And I'm trying really hard not to fall into that, because it is easy once you get started to be like, wow, I really need to get going with this. Like, I'm in going to my late 20s, but just trying to be gentle with yourself. Yeah. With that too.
And then not comparing yourself. Like the CEO can happen when you're 18 and it can happen when you're 55.
Yes.
Like it doesn't matter.
Yes.
We all have different tracks and we might be have a family super early on that not allows us to do these things. And we might have a family when we're way too late and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So it's super cool to hear that you're open to anything that can happen. I'm curious, what are some of the struggles that you have faced as you're approaching this growing season? Have you run into like any roadblocks with like trying to get yourself out there?
Yeah.
Have you been turned down by like people or anything?
I think that I haven't really been turned down by a lot of people. I feel like as a silo has helped me so much, and I've only been to one event. So that's pretty crazy. Like it, just from that one event, I have made so many connections. My modeling all of a sudden just boomed. Like people wanted to work with me. And I was not expecting that. So that was awesome. But I feel like the struggles that I've faced is it kind of realizing that I want to be a director of like a creative director and not knowing exactly what that looks like. Do I need a college degree and kind of learning how to get around that degree and who to work with. And it's a very niche thing.
Yeah.
So it's been really difficult for me to navigate through how to do it. So that's kind of what I'm currently struggling with is like, what's the best avenue to take to do that? Because
there's no roadmap.
No, not really. I'm just making connections and talking to people. And that's really the best way to get yourself out there is just to be yourself and talk to people. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And showing them what I can do.
Right. And I think that's so key because me personally, I don't think you need college for photography, for modeling, stuff like that. I'm glad you feel the same way. Because like the most important experience is like the in-field experience where you're just doing it. You might be failing 20 times out of 30 at the beginning, whatever you're doing, but those losses amount for a huge win at the end that you don't get from just losing money at college, I feel like.
No, I totally agree. I went to college for a year hoping to go to film school afterwards, and eventually I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I don't like it. It doesn't bring me any joy to go to college, and it's really not necessary, and I'm losing money. So I completely agree. Not that if somebody wants to go to college, and that's there's definitely specific careers that you have to.
Yeah, and some people need that rigid structure to maybe this could be the case where it's more of an entrepreneurial mindset where they just want to go out and do it themselves. Those kinds of people maybe thrive better in the field and just going out there and doing their thing. So it's super cool to like shotgun out there and just be like, I'm going to do everything, sample it all and figure out kind of like what path you want to go on.
Yeah.
Is there any other struggles that you can think of that like?
Yeah, I would say that you kind of brought up comparison before. When I got into modeling when I was younger, I definitely struggled with that. And as I've gotten older, I've become a lot more, I know myself a lot more. I love myself a lot more. I have better self-esteem. But when I had that big boom of people reaching out to me after, you know, the silo events and I started following all the models and photographers, there's definitely a comparison aspect that it's still went into it that you kind of second guess yourself. Like, am I good enough to be doing this? Like, look at her pictures. They're so much better. Or look at what they're doing. And it's really toxic to fall into that. Not for just for yourself, but for other people. Cause you don't want to look at other people like, oh, they're better than me. They're doing better than me. I'm never going to get there. That's just a negative relationship to have with yourself, but it also overflows into the way that you talk to those people.
Right.
So I had to kind of dial it back and be like, it's okay. You know, you're 25, you're very young. You're just starting out. You know, there's no need to compare yourself to these people who have probably been doing this for longer than you.
Exactly.
And know a lot more people.
Yeah.
So just trying to be gentle with myself, I think it's huge. I think for any creative, being gentle with yourself is one of my biggest words of advice.
Yeah.
And it is not easy.
Yeah. Having any kind of grace or gentleness takes a lot of courage to be able to be like, hey, Austin, get your mind in check here. Let's bring it down and humble yourself here. Look where your actual circumstances are, because if you quantify them together, you can see that comparison is they are way up here because of blah, 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 blah. And I'm down here because I just started a year ago or 2 months ago, or I don't have the gear to support the actual photos that they are producing.
For sure. So. And I think that's especially true with what you do, because you have to have a certain level of equipment usually to get that outcome that you're looking for. So it's a lot more than just, you know, being good at it. You know, you're already good at it. So I completely understand like where you're coming from.
So we were talking a little bit off camera too about how you want to not be known as just a model. What is, explain that to me.
Yeah, so I do a lot of things and I just keep discovering more of what I want to do. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the amount of creative things that I enjoy and like to do, because I realize that I don't necessarily have one really huge specialization. Like, I don't want to just model. I don't want to just be a creative director. I don't want to just write. I want to do a lot of different things. And I think that that's why creative director felt the most close to me, because I feel like as a creative director, you do a lot of different things. And I think a lot of creative directors have a lot of different art mediums that they work with. So that's why that made the most sense to me.
But
even recently, I've been doing a lot of writing. I've been writing a lot of poetry, and I've been using Adobe Express, which I don't think a lot of people use too much.
Yeah.
But I love Adobe Express. I've been using it to create almost like a digital collage and artwork that goes with all of my writing.
Yeah.
So I've been working on like pushing pages of that out.
Yeah.
So just there's a lot more that I do, and then there's a lot more that I want to do with other people. I want to work with other people and other groups of people to all come together and just make cool stuff.
Yeah. At the end of the day, make cool stuff.
Make cool stuff.
Drop the mic there, honestly. Yeah. I think too, just in all of that, it's not only you being a well-rounded creative, but it's like a well-rounded human. Like, you know, you don't want to be known as just this person or just, you know, I only do this. Like, to be a well-rounded human means having compassion as well as humbleness and blah, 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 and being able to have a side hobby and be yourself in this area. And that expresses itself in the creative areas of your life as well. Do you think that creativity for you embodies expression, and like how do you use creativity to express yourself, if that's the case?
I feel like creativity for me is I feel like this year I'm discovering a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever thought I earned the title of being creative, or being a creative, as we all seem to call ourselves. I like that title, but I never thought that I deserved it. I never thought that I was creative enough, or that I was doing enough, and I never tried hard enough. And then when I moved back to Pennsylvania from New York, I started just doing it.
Yeah.
Like just doing it. And I kind of learned that my creativeness isn't validated by other people. It's not validated by if I put out enough work for them or they even see my work.
Yeah.
Because how long have I been writing since I've been writing since I was in elementary school? I was published in a book.
Yeah.
And I just never did anything with it. And I've been writing ever since. And I just keep it to myself. That to me made me think I'm not creative. I'm not a creative. I don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started showing people and they're telling me, this is really good, you should do something with this.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I think I've just been a creative this entire time.
Yeah.
And I just didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And so it is a form of expression for me, to answer your question. I'd say that it's a big validation for myself right now, of being able to say, this is all the stuff I can do that has just been sitting in me.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Yeah. Do you feel like you need to get it out in the world to feel a little bit of validation? There's levels to it, obviously.
Yeah.
But was there a release when it finally made the world, even if no one had to comment on it, but it was like out there and not just like in the journal next to your bed or something?
Yeah. I think it's difficult to writing is hard. What's really hard about writing is that when you're an artist, and it's probably the same for you, you are your own worst critic. So you'll write something or you'll take a picture and you'll be like, this is crap. And it's never good enough to you. So when you get that validation from other people, I think it can be really helpful, but I think it's a slippery slope too, because you don't want to rely on that. Like, you need to like your own work. And if a couple of people don't like your work, but you're satisfied with it, or there's this really niche group that just thinks it's the best thing in the world, and that's all that likes it in the whole world is these three people, that's okay. So I think that there's a balance with validation of being able to find it in yourself, but also you can't deny it's nice to get it from other people.
You need a little foundation for yourself, and then anything else is a plus.
Right. Because I think that for so long I was like, I know I'm good at writing, and I know I'm good at this and that.
Yeah.
But then when I put it out there and people were like, yeah, this is very good. You're good at this. You're good at modeling. You know what you're doing. With all these different creative things that I do, it was like, wow, you know what? You're right. It was just like a confidence booster.
Yeah. What is your relationship then with either social media or with the people that validate you. Where is that? Does that cause any trouble in your head? Like, how do you separate that then for you?
So when I was younger, I went through this little phase, I'd say, when I was first started modeling around 2021. And I was posting on social media all the time. I was building my followers. And after a while, I think it became a little bit toxic for me because I got a little bit obsessed and thinking that that mattered a lot. And networking does matter.
Yeah.
But if you get into it too much, you get in your head too much, it can become obsessive. So I took a step back. When I lived in New York, I took a step back from social media. I took a step back from modeling. And it kind of shifted my perspective on it. And now I'm back to doing that, but I have healthy boundaries and making sure that I am following people that put out positive energy. I am following a lot of art pages. I'm following a lot of therapy pages that just have things about healthy mindset and therapy. And so it's not just like, here's a bunch of really cool art everyone's putting out but you.
Right.
You know, here are some advice tips through the day in between those to keep you centered and grounded, because stop comparing yourself to these people.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Support them. You know, we all want supported.
Yeah.
So
do you feel like your time in New York then, where you said you weren't creating or weren't maybe putting out as much into the world, was that like a stagnant period for you, or was that like a healing, like restful period?
I actually did do quite a bit in New York that I just haven't talked about because I didn't put a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
I worked with two studios there. One, I was kind of just an intern at, and they did a lot of, I worked with the creative director there. So he was the head of the department, and they put out commercials. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of car commercials. So I got to do a couple of things on set with them and just learn from them and watch them work. Mm-hmm. And then I was working with a really small family studio that I really got into. So there I was helping create visions for, the owner was a writer. So she did spoken word poetry and she was writing an autobiography. And I was helping her come up with different scenes to put videos to advertise her book. So things like that that's when I realized like, this is what I want to do. I want to help people create what their vision.
Yeah.
So I was still doing things, but I wasn't modeling. I wasn't putting it out there. It was a lot of behind the scenes helping discover what I wanted and helping up this little company discover what they wanted.
It was also working more under someone, I would say, than maybe what you're doing now. I know you work, or you're currently working with someone that you're still doing stuff with, but that was more like under an agency of their brand. You have your own kind of like modeling social media thing going on right now for yourself, which has been super cool. Do you feel like if you were offered a creative job full time, would you accept it? Where would your hesitancies be?
If it was a creative job at a studio that I had a salary at and health insurance, 100% yes.
Yeah.
I think what's scary for me and for a lot of creatives is branching out and being like, I'm just going to do this on my own and be creative and be an entrepreneur and have no health insurance and no salary and not really know what's happening.
Yeah.
I can't fully do that.
Yeah.
It scares me. So I try to balance work and that. But if somebody offered me a position just doing creative work at a studio for them full time, I 100% would drop everything I'm doing.
That's good to hear. I didn't bring an offer or a job offer for you. This was the proposition. I mean,
on camera.
So you said you don't want to be completely known as a model, but you have modeled for Silo. You modeled for other people before.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what would help a photographer understand how to like comfort a model? Because obviously we don't want to overstep as it's just a normal portrait shoot. What would you suggest to a photographer to like help them understand you as a model better?
Just like a normal shoot,
maybe even a Silo shoot. Like,
yeah.
Where would your boundaries be? And how would you set them up? Would you just, yeah.
I kind of just show up. And then if anyone ever makes me uncomfortable, you just have to make sure you're saying something. Yes. Like, advocate for yourself. There's nothing wrong with saying like photographers shouldn't touch you without asking first. That's a big one. And it's, I've never really had much of a problem with that, but I've heard of it. Yeah. And you just say, hey, don't touch me unless I say you can. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. And I think it's really scary for a lot of people, especially women, for some reason for us to just say that. Like, we're scared that everyone's going to think that we're being rude,
no,
but we're not.
Yeah, you're sticking up for yourself.
Yes. So, but that I think that is how we, not to speak for all women, but that's how I felt in the past, that I'm afraid to say something because I don't want to come off as just being rude.
Right.
But yeah, just making sure that you ask models before you touch them, and making sure that you, I don't like when we're at big events and there's four different cameras on me and I don't know what I'm supposed to look at.
Yeah, there's no like, I'm taking right. you, I'm then next to
because
you.
Because then I'll see pictures of me that are kind of, I'm not even looking at the camera, and they're not posed to not look at the camera. So I'll be like, what is it? I'll see like them and be like, where did this come from? Yeah. And it's like, just take turns, you know, turns so that I'm not confused.
Yeah. And like, look over here, something right. like that. Just like right. a normal person that it has like a line of people waiting behind them to get their photo.
If it's a one-on-one issue, that obviously that doesn't happen. Yeah. But at like an event like that, that has gotten confusing for me.
Is there anything else that you would want photographers to know just in general as a model? Have you heard any other horror stories that you want to make sure get across to a wider audience?
I think it's really important when people reach out to you on social media, photographers, and say, hey, I want to work with you. Don't just go work with them. Don't just go to their house, please. please do not do that. I want models to be safe, and I want them, if you've ever worked with that person, reach out to me, I have other people you can reach out to that I can put you in contact with. Just reach out to other local artists in the community and see if they've heard of this person. Make sure they're safe. Go on their profile, see if they've worked with people that you know. Even if they have, still ask around.
Right.
Just make sure you're being safe and making good choices, because sadly, there are a lot of bad people in this world. And you have to be very careful.
Yeah. And for those starting out, what is a healthy way to slide into a model's DM to work with them?
Just be natural and be yourself. Just, hey, I really like the work that you've done in the past, and I have a couple ideas that I thought we could talk about if you'd like to shoot with me.
Right. It's helpful to have like some idea of what you're wanting to go towards, I would imagine. Because if you just say, hey, Michaela, let's work together. Okay. Like, I feel like it's on the photographer, or at least the person that's reaching out, to have the idea and like direction to go towards. It's different if it's like more of a collaboration, but if it's like, hey, I have a vision, I want to shoot with you, you would fill this spot super well. That to me is someone I would want to work with more than, hey, we should work together in the next couple months. What do you want to do? Like, to me, or at least for someone maybe a little bit more established, or a model that like has gigs continually going on, they need more effort from the other person than just, you're beautiful, let's work out. Like, let's do something.
I think that it depends on what you're doing, like you said. So there are people who do more professional paid shoots where your job isn't necessarily as a model to sadly be fully creative. You are filling a position. So you are coming in expected to look a certain way, to represent this brand or whatever you're representing, and they're paying you to do so. So if you're doing a shoot like that, they should come to you with some direction and tell you what's going on. And you have a little bit less creativity. But for me, I prefer doing collaborations because I have that. I think modeling has kind of created an avenue for me to creative direct with photographers.
Yeah.
So for me, I love when people reach out and are like, I really want to shoot with you. Do you have any ideas? But that's me, and everyone's probably different, you know, and that's not something that, you know, that's different than like a paid professional shoot that they're like, hey, I want you to represent this because you're perfect for it. That's different, that I have to come in looking a certain way. But when I get to collaborate with someone, I don't mind if someone reaches out and says, hey, like, I think you have a really cool look, and I think we could create something together. Like, let's brainstorm some ideas, I think is the way I would word it, instead of like, hey, like, let's shoot. Because I've had that, and I've been like, okay, do you have anything in mind? Because I'll come up with something.
Yeah.
But yeah, just having like, let's brainstorm together. Let's talk about it. Let's come up with some ideas, like inside or outside in a studio. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for you, with how much creativity and like wardrobe and like prop knowledge you have, like, that is where you shine in like, hey, I'm going to shoot with you, but also let's collaborate. Like, I would never ask you to just, for me personally, for you to just hop into like a shoot that I'm doing, because I know you have so much more to offer than that, which is so different and unique compared to like other models, I feel like, which is super cool, because it's just like, I would have you on a shoot, I would imagine, and like have you creative direct, but then also hop in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's what, like, I want to do. Yeah, just like hop in there a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You have the vision, you're like, I'm gonna get in there too.
Yeah.
And you should. Do you have any advice for like models that are just starting out?
First things first, biggest advice. I was just working with some senior spokesmodels and they were really young. I mean, like 16 to 19. And I told them, if you start getting reached out to by other people, please be safe. Please contact me, contact other models, someone, a studio, ask them if they've heard of this person. So number one is just be safe. Two is going back to be gentle with yourself. So try not to fall into this pattern of comparing yourself to other people. It's going to happen a little bit, but try to like have that self-talk of getting out of your own head and rationalizing with yourself. Like, they've been doing this a lot longer than me. This is going to take some time. Right. And just have fun, you know, talk to people. Really just going to events like Silo and meeting other people and communicating with them on social media safely. All of those things are just the best thing you can do. It's just being yourself and talking to people, being kind, trying to get creative with other people.
Yeah, I think it helps to maybe to find someone of a similar like skill tier, skill level, you know, whatever that looks like, so that you guys can grow together and make sure you're bouncing ideas off of each other well. I feel like, sure, you can have the broader community, but if you can like be one-on-one and grow up with someone, I feel like that's helpful.
Yeah. And also just to let go, like just because I feel like when I started, I still get so in my head about like, how am I moving my body? And like, I get a little tense sometimes, and just let go. Like, if it feels weird, it's probably looks good.
Yeah.
You know, just let go.
It's a common thing I have to say to people. It's like, listen, it's going to feel weird that your shoulder is like way up here, but look, it looks good on camera. Mm-hmm. And you don't know the angle that the photographer is getting. So it makes sense to them and hopefully makes sense later. Where do you want to be in the future? Big question. But like, if you had your way with what you're doing now, where would you want to be in a year from now?
In a year from now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say in a couple of years. So in a couple of years, I think eventually my goal in life is to not have a regular job anymore. I work in marketing. So not have to have a regular job and be able to do, I teach yoga, which is also something I didn't mention.
Yeah.
I also teach yoga. So I'd have half my job being teaching yoga and half my job doing different creative projects for people. That would be my goal.
Is that freelance? Is that working like with a company that you do stuff for?
I would love to work with a company, but freelance too. I think that it would be helpful for me because I am a very, I'm very afraid of going out on my own and not having a set job. Yeah. So I think working with a studio and having more of a set kind of schedule or pay agreement would be easier for me.
Yeah.
So I think that I would rather work with a studio, but if it ends up being, if I'm able to make enough connections to do it freelance and teach yoga the rest of the week, that sounds like living the dream to me, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Heck yeah, that'd be so much fun to like split your like occupation that way.
Yeah.
Into like so many different things that you love.
You want to talk about how short I am as a model?
What is it like being a short model? Give me the lowdown. Do people ever say, man, you're short?
That actually, I don't have a lot of people just say it like that because I think they're scared to be rude. But I think it's been in my head. You know, I actually didn't even talk about that. That actually has been a bit of a setback for me as a model is my height. I'm 4'11". So people like tall people in photos. It looks better for certain shoots. So I think that some people might look at me and not want to work with me because of that. Nobody has said that to me.
Sure.
But I assume that it has happened. I try not to take too much offense to it, but it's definitely gotten in my head because I truly believe that if I was had the same style, the same build, and was just 5'7" or to 5'9" or taller, I would be an established model. And I do believe that, not to toot my own horn, but like I think that I would be a lot bigger if I was just tall.
Sure.
So that's frustrating.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about that.
That's never crossed my mind either. But I'm also looking at it from the other perspective. Of like, I feel like that actually makes you more valuable to be different than what is commercially wanted, because there is also a niche just as much, if not more, for the people that are different.
It's getting better in the modeling industry with body acceptance and, you know, showing different body types that we're all not, you know, not that there's anything wrong with the body type that is 6 foot and very thin. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that there's more than that, and that's what has only been represented for such a long time. So branching out in the women that are maybe more, I won't say normal looking, but just like somebody you might see on the street more averagely.
It's an average person is a lot different than what is actually portrayed in those magazines and in movies and stuff like that. And there's beauty in every single one of those too. Like, you are beautiful in this way and in this way and in this way. And that's all represented way differently in the media.
You have to remember too that the people that you see portrayed on social media, that is not what they really look like. Like, the pictures on my social media, I try to throw in some stuff that's more real.
I've been doing that.
Yeah. But like, my body and face don't always look like that. Like, I'm sitting like I'm sitting right now. I'm like up like this. Like, if I just like scrunch down and like sit normally, like, it's not the same.
Right.
Like, we are showing the best angles of that person. And when you go on someone's profile, you see them in the magazine, you're like, wow, I wish I looked like that. Or like, my pictures don't look like that. If you're just starting out, you have to realize like, there is a whole team making that person look that way. Like, they don't just walk down the street and look like that. Few of them might. It's few and far between.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind too when you're starting out modeling, is you're going to see bad angles of yourself. You're going to see a picture of yourself and be like, is that how I look? Probably not. I like to say your worst picture and your best picture ever on an average day, you probably look somewhere in the middle. And just trying to be gentle with yourself that, you know, this is, in social media, it's not an accurate depiction of what people look like.
Dang, that is a knowledge bomb that people need to hear. That's been said a lot more recently, but I think hearing it from you and hearing it from models that are like in our local area that like have experienced, you know, hey, I do have a worst photo and I do have a best photo. Where am I in between that? Like, makes a huge difference. Michaela, thank you so much for joining us. It's been super cool to talk and have a good discussion about all of the things that are happening and modeling and how to view yourself in a positive light. I think super valuable stuff. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Peace out, guys.